I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I felt the chains hit the ground, the chains that have bound me for years. And I've studied prisoners because I'm infatuated by prisoners for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe I'm naughty, but you know, when people have been locked up and shoved in a room for their lives and they get released, they actually don't know how to live because they're so used to having the chains wrapped around them. They're so used to someone locking the door at night and telling them what they can and can't do that when they get freed, they're actually not free at all. It's just that their body's free. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling us, asking us, begging us tonight, don't pick those chains up. Tonight we need to just say, Lord, you've given me freedom and in that freedom I will live. Lord, I'm so used to being bound. I'm so used to whatever it is in my life keeping me captive. But Lord, tonight, from the get-go, Lord, I say I want freedom. I want to live in freedom. Why are you getting so excited, Jared? Because why live bound up? Why live in the sin that's bound us up? Why live in that? We don't have to. We're just singing, you know. Our God can break the darkest night. He can set us free. The chains will hit the ground. And yet for so many of us, like me, we spend our lives picking the jolly things up again. Tonight in your own space, in your own place, the Lord, I'm going to commit to finding true freedom, not just in my physical body, but Lord, in my soul, my spirit, Lord, my attitudes, the way I talk, the way I listen to things, who I'm listening to. I don't have to listen to the guards every night say, you know, lockdown, go to bed, shut up, you worthless person. No. We don't have to listen to that. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit that says you're free, and who the Son sets free, who God sets free, who Jesus sets free is free indeed. Just say, Lord, I let go. I just let go. I don't know how it works, but I let go. And I can guarantee you that the Holy Spirit's going to let you loose tonight like you've never seen freedom before. And He's going to let you loose tomorrow, and He's going to let you loose on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Man, there is such an anointing in this place tonight. I feel like that song is prophesying what God is doing and what God is going to do in our church, in our city, in our nation. Chains falling off, revival, people are coming alive, people are awakening. You know, I love these Holy Spirit nights. We try and have them every couple of months where there's just freedom for the Lord to move in. It's kind of a fluid space. And instead of you just sitting and listening to a preacher, you get to move and come forward and have hands laid on you. And it's more experiential. It's more impartation. And so that's what we're doing tonight. I want to encourage, strongly exhort every person in this building to come out the front at least once in the next half hour or however long we have. I want you to not just be someone who holds back and thinks, oh, maybe, I don't know, I'll see if my friends do. But just be someone who steps out in faith and who opens up to the Holy Ghost. You can think, well, why should I come out the front? But this is a place of symbolism. It's an altar. And in the Old Testament, the things were laid on the altar as a sacrifice to the Lord, as a symbol of surrender to Him. And when something was laid on the altar, it would die. It would die. It would be offered up to the Lord. The fire of God would come on the altar. Not at the back, on the altar. So it takes a step of faith for us to move into that place. And I've just got this verse here that I felt like the Lord was quickening to me this week. You know, in Matthew 22, verse 29, some religious people came up to Jesus and challenged Him about stuff. And Jesus said to them, you guys, you religious people, are in error because you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. So Jesus was not only holding them and expecting them to know the scriptures, and that's important. We need to be in our Bibles every day. But He was also expecting them and holding them to know the power of God. How do we know the power of God? We get hungry for Him. We experience Him. The more of God that we have inside of us, the more of the Lord we open ourselves up to and put ourselves in places like in the altar, like in our prayer closet every morning, like in the Word every day. We get filled up with the love of God. We get filled up with the power of God. We get filled up with the fire of God. And then we carry Him into our classroom, into our office, onto our work site, into uni, into tech. We carry Him. Sometimes we're praying, God, won't you break out of my school? Won't you break out of my company and my business and my work in the office? But He wants to break out through you. You and I are the ones who carry Him in there every day when we go. And we've got to carry Him with His fire and with His love and with His power. The way to do that is to get so full that you overflow. So full that if someone comes up near you and bumps you, they get a little bit of the overflow out of the top. And it just spills out over the top onto them. You know, we've got to get full and get hungry for the power of God. We've got to get an appetite for this. We've got to become carriers, because what we have, we will give. Like the blind beggar in Acts chapter 3. And Peter said, I don't have any money on me, but what I have, I give you. What we have, we will give. What we have will come out of us onto other people. So what is it we have? Let's make it the power of God. Let's make it the love of God. If you know you need more of the power of God in your life, I want to encourage you to come right now out the front and stand along here. If you've got a hungry heart, you're saying, I need to carry more of the fire of God. I need to carry more of the power, the fire, the love of God, so those around me catch it. You know, I had one of my friends say to me the other day that someone said to her, how come you love people so much? And then she said to me, I don't know, why do you think I do love people so much? And I said, I think it's because you take time every morning to get so full of the love of God when you're praying to Him and worshiping Him and being in the Word, that it overflows out of you onto other people. Onto other people. Let's worship Jesus. Father, right now I pray your power would fall afresh. Your fire would fall afresh. Your anointing would fall afresh. Oh, the love of God would be so strong upon us and within us that it would overflow out of us into others. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Jared spoke about prisoners in captivity. And I want to make a shout out to all the mothers here on this Mother's Day. Because within none of you, none of us would be here today. None of us would be here today. But our freedom was caused by your pain. Our freedom from the womb was brought about by your pain. And it's only the Creator that can give us our freedom. And the true Creator gave us ultimate freedom through a whole heap of pain when He sent Jesus to the cross. Your freedom is here. Your freedom is here. We sung earlier the song, and it says, I can feel it breaking loose. You can feel it breaking loose. I watched this movie the other day. Deepwater Horizon. It was about the terrible oil spill in the Louisiana Gulf. Oil runs rampant beneath the earth. Just flows, consistently flows, consistently flows. And when they drill for this oil, they send this big pipe straight down and they try and restrict the flow. And this is what life does to us. It tries to restrict our flow, our Jesus flow, our Christian flow. But that's not what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to flow. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to shoot out of us, just like Eleanor said. She wants it. We want it to overflow from us into the next person and from them to the next person and so on and so on and so on. We just don't want it to stop. But the enemy, he puts things in the way. He wants to stop our flow. And he'll do it in any way possible, way, shape, or form. But we've got to keep that flow going. And how do we do that? We keep walking in faith. We keep stepping out in faith. We keep honoring the Creator, the one who gave all his pain for our freedom. Never ever let the flow stop. Never let the enemy win by blocking it. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep moving, because when you move, he moves. I don't know if you notice, but I don't like to stand still very often. You've got to keep moving. You've got to let the Holy Spirit dive in, and don't let this thing get in the way. Because when he's talking, you've got to switch your brain off and you've got to open up this thing. Open up your heart. And that's where it flows, the conduit. You want to be that mighty conduit. So it comes down here and flows out there, beyond the walls of this place. Beyond the walls of this place. We're not a Sunday service. We're a Monday to Sunday service. You just got to let it flow. Do not let the enemy take a millimeter, or he'll take a mile. And the only way we can stay flowing is by consistently coming back to the one where the flow comes from. Be that pipe of ever running flow. Be that pipe of ever running oil. Be that pipe of the ever running love for Jesus. If your flow is lacking, do something about it. Come out the front here. Come over here. Move. Don't stand still. You don't have a Velcro bum. You're not glued to that seat. You can move. You can do something about it. Make yourself accountable. Put your hand up and say, man, I'm struggling. There's a lot of people struggling out there. You're just going to say, I am struggling. I am hurting. Help me out. And they will help you out. Jesus, help me out. My flow's not working. Go see a plumber, the ultimate plumber. In Jesus, let it flow.
There are some incredible stories in the Bible. Some of them bring you joy, but some challenge you. And this week I was looking at this story in the book of Jonah. And his life, God speaks to him and asks him to do something. But Jonah didn't want to do it because his heart didn't have the mercy that God had. He didn't want Nineveh to be saved. So what Jonah ended up doing was Jonah ended up running away from God and running away from what God asked him to do. He got on a boat and he tried to get away. But what ended up happening was God brought a storm and that boat shook and it shook. And the people that were on the boat were scared. And the only way that they knew to get rid of it, rid of the storm, was to throw Jonah overboard, and throw him out. And now you may be wondering, why this story? Now some of you guys here, God has asked you to do something, and you are running away. Some of you guys here, God has been calling your name. He has been calling you, but you are allowing yourself and others to sink around you. Who are you allowing to sink by your influences or your disobedience from God? Or who are you allowing around your life to let influence you, whether they're friends or family, and that are making you sink? The most important thing is that we're listening to God. Sometimes God says, hey, actually, I want you to stick by that friend or stick by that person. But if they are allowing you to be filled with toxic thoughts, pulling you away from God, you need to throw the Jonah overboard. And that sounds harsh, but in my own life, I had to do that with a whole bunch of my friends. God was like, they're making you sink. They're making you sink. And I looked back, and it was only 11 years ago that I actually committed my life to God. 11 years ago that I was like, no, I'm going to toss those people overboard and allow God to work in their lives. But God wanted me to work in my life first. And in 11 years, seeing how far I've come just by listening to God, I want to challenge you guys. Three groups of people I'd love to come down and to be prayed for. The first group of people are those who you know you're being influenced, either manipulated by or victimized, and people are coming around you and saying, hey, you know, this person's doing this, this person's doing that. But actually, it's really toxic. And you're like, I just need to get out from under that. It could be friends. It could be family. I know family have talked to me many times about their situations, but actually, when God has talked to me, I've actually realized, actually, they're not right in this situation. I'm only hearing one side. And the second group of people are those who are feeling like they're actually the ones who are letting others sink. And it is a bold step to actually admit that you're the one sinking others. At Intermediate, I know that I was sinking a lot of people. And I hurt a lot of people along the way because I was hurting. And I allowed that to happen. And the third thing is that if God has asked you to do something and you know that you have not listened to that based on your own pride or based on, I don't know if it was God, or I actually don't even know if God is speaking to me and you want a word tonight from God, I want you to come forward. So in those three things as we sing, if either of one of those are you, come forward. You can come forward and repent if it's something that you're letting out, you influence others in not a good way. Come right now. Awesome.
I'm going to win the award tonight at all the speakers because I'm going to let you sit down. No, that's only a joke. Have a seat, guys. Have a seat for a little moment. I want to just read a couple of scriptures to you. And can I say before I start, you know, I haven't heard an audible voice from God, and maybe someone else did tonight. So what I'm saying to you, just interpret out of love and accept it out of love, and don't judge my motives because they are really pure. And so what I want to speak to you about tonight, I felt this is what God was sort of leading me to. I mean, our incredible pastor shared this morning about making Jesus first. I knew this is it. This is what I'm going to speak about. And so Isaiah chapter 29, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. Isaiah 29, verse 13, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is based merely on human rules that they have been taught. You know, and there's other verses that say, how can blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth? And the challenge that I really just felt God saying is, how much do I worship Him like I do on Sunday? How much do I do the rest of the week? Is it just something that I do on Sunday and put it out there? You know, I remember, believe it or not, talking to a bunch of youth about dating. Do never ask me again. But one of the things that I said was, you know, when you see a couple in public, if they're just holding hands, you go, oh, I bet you when they're alone, he's got his arm around her as well. And when you saw stuff, and you imagine what they're doing when they're at home. And I reckon it's a little bit like that. You never do in public what you don't do in private first. So normally you take her to the movies where it's dark and no one can see her. I mean, who would go to a movie date? There's no talking or anything, but all you want to do is really hold her hand. because you do it in private, in sort of private before you do it public. Somehow though, when we come to worship in God, we're quite okay to come do it, yeah, in public, but we do nothing in private. And I sort of wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say this. I've been married, next month I'll be married for 11 years, and that lady over there, I love her more now than I did 11 years ago. And if you don't love God more today than you did a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you're in big, big trouble. Because if your love isn't growing, it's dying. Love can't just be the same. And I heard a guy talking once, and he spoke about the theft of our imagination. And what he meant by that was, he was saying that reading stimulates imagination in children, but devices and pictures and movies steals your imagination. You know, if I tell you a story about a beach and incredible waves and a surfer that's so talented, in your mind you can sort of picture it and you generate a picture. And I'm sure all of you have seen different stuff. Some of you, the surfer was going left. Some of you was going right. Some of you was wearing a wetsuit. Some of the waves were massive. Some they were small. Some of the beach was full of sun. Others it was overcast. But if I showed you a picture, you wouldn't imagine any of that. And I really believe tonight, I'm going to read you two passages about the presence of God. I believe that we have lost and our imagination has been stolen what the presence of God really is like. And so with that, we've lost our reverence and our awe for this God that we serve. I love Francis Chan tells a story about Adam when he first sort of met God, and God would have said to him, "Hey, Adam, guess what? I made you." Adam would have gone, "Nah. Yeah, I made you. I put breath in you." Adam would have gone, "No way. Wow." You know, he wouldn't have just turned around and gone, "Oh, that's cool," and sort of walked off. But somehow when we're confronted with God, we respond a little bit like that. And we go, "Man, is the service over? Can we leave? Or, man, I've got stuff to do." And so I want to just, I'm even going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to read you just two passages, and I really want you to stretch your imagination and just see how real you can make it. And the first one, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, "You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was frightened at the sight, and he said, 'I am terrified and I am trembling.' No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels who are in joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn, whose names have been written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who will judge over all things." And then I'm going to ask you to stand as I read this next verse. So won't you all stand? Revelation chapter 4. And it's talking here about worship in heaven. And just close your eyes again. And it says, "Yeah, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.' And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one who was sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. And they were clothed in white, and they had gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in the front of the throne there were seven torches burning with seven flames. This was the sevenfold Spirit of God. And in front of the throne there was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. And in the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of the living beings was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third was like a human face, the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and with the wings they were covered all over with eyes, inside and out, day and night, and day night after night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, the one who is, and the one who is still to come." And whenever the living beings gave glory and honor and thanks to the one who was sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the one who was on the throne. And they lay down their crowns and saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things that exist, and because you created what you pleased." And so my challenge to all of us tonight is, are we worshiping with our lips or are we really worshiping with our hearts? Do we really love God? Is God really first? You know, Pastor Alan said if he spends a few days with you, will he see whether God is first? And so I want to challenge you today. You know, I love the story of Moses when he went into the presence of God. It said all of Israel stood at the door of their tent and watched. And so that meant they did something. They got up and they heard Moses is going into the presence and they got up. And I want to ask you today, what are you going to do? Are you going to get up? And are you going to stand and say, "God, I want to be different from tonight on. I want to do something different. I don't want to just worship on a Sunday, but I want to do something more." And I'm not saying go and make a crazy commitment like, "Okay, every day this week I'm going to get up and worship God." Why don't you just start small and say, "God, I'm going to worship you at least one more time this week. And I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I'm going to go into a room somewhere. I'm going to put on a bit of music. And I'm going to just fall to my knees. And I'm going to just worship you." You see, it's okay for me to compliment my wife here in public. But if when I go home I don't love her, then it doesn't mean anything. And she'll see right through it. And I'm asking us tonight, can God see right through of us?